Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter 65. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 7. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them, Ye shall destroy their altars, and break down their images, and cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath in which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack. To him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people, and there shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? And thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eye saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send the hornet among them, until they that are left and hide themselves from thee be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little, that thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. But the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Erica Pass, who had a surgery last night, and Leanne Busicum, who is in the hospital. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who art holy and we unholy, thou righteous and we unrighteous, thou just and we unjust, thou merciful and we unmerciful, thou we are to approach by thy own command and to whom we have no desire, in our wicked and carnal hearts by nature, and also in the life of thy own children, there is so often a sinful sloth, that thou may look upon us in this morning hour, in the state and condition wherein we have come to thy house of prayer, on the day that thou hast set aside that we may put away all the labors of our hands, that we may come together in a public way to acknowledge thy holy name in the midst of the earth, and to gather together in a supplication and prayer before thee, that thou may so look upon us when in an outward way we may be obedient unto thy command, then it is alone thy goodness over us, and that thou givest us to take heed to thy word, when by nature there are also in this world so many who have no outward desire. But Lord, all our form and our custom cannot grant to us what we need for our soul, but thou dost promise to give it in the way of the means, when we will use them. And then thou hast promised that thou wilt also bless and sanctify them, for thou sayest that we ought to ask of thee, that we might receive, and to knock, that it may be opened unto us, and to seek that we might find. Lord, that thou may give it then in a spiritual and in a true way in this morning hour, that our hearts may be savingly affected by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that it may not be alone form and custom in our life. All our religion of which thou sayest is nothing, in thy holy sight except it be in truth and in uprightness. For we are by nature as whited sepulchres, indeed appearing clean on the outside, but within full of dead men's bones. And thou knowest the stench and the corruption that does come forth from our wicked hearts day by day and moment by moment. As so that it is a wonder also when we are appearing before thy face, and when we are not sufficiently humbled before thee, that thou still bearest with us and with our dear children. But Lord, everything that we stand in need of as a fallen and as a miserable and wretched creature, that is all necessary to come from thee, as the Alpha, as the first one, as he that is almighty, and as he that was dead and is alive again, and who sittest at the right hand of thy Father in the way of the mediatorial labors that have been placed upon thee to make intercession before thy Father for a sinful and a wretched people. Oh, that thou may then look also upon us, and that thou may supplicate also for us. And could it please thee to apply also to send forth thy Holy Spirit in a rich measure, to apply unto us that salvation which thou hast wrought, even in thy dear Son. Oh, come then. Come then as thou hast come in the days that are gone by, wherein we may read how that thy Spirit did work with might and with power. When we may read it in thy holy word, then thou sayest that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore we call upon thee in this morning hour, that thou may look upon us, O Lord, that thou may have mercy amidst well-deserved wrath, and that thou may take away all of our sin, and that thou may look upon us in and through thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, and in whom thou hast taken away all the guilt and all the pollution of the sin of thy people. Oh, then we look up unto thee in this morning hour, that thou may come and that thou may give the application also to us and unto our dear children. Oh, would it not be in this morning to greatly to thy honor and to thy glory, when one sinner should cry out and repent before thee? Oh, would there not be joy amidst thy holy throne, when men would turn from their iniquity, and would humble themselves and would seek thy face once more? Lord, we beseech it of thee and thy mercy. Thou knowest that we have no power. Oh, we have cut off our own hands and our own feet so that we are not able to take that which thou sayest in thy word, that is for fallen creatures. Oh, that thou profferest peace and pardon. Lord, then we have fallen so spiritually dead. Thou alone can make us alive. Oh, thou alone can give us that eternal life, that life that will sorrow for our sin, and that life that will be humbled in the dust of self-abasement before thee, and that will stand in need of thy dear Son. O Lord, faith is a gift of God that cometh from above. O that thou may then look upon each and every one of us and be pleased to plant it in our hearts, we and our dear children, in thy mercy.
and that thou may work with a great power in the last days in which we live with our children. And that thy spirit may go out again as heretofore, and that the kingdoms of the earth may be given to bow their knees before thee. Look then upon us in the way of thy mercy and not amidst well-deserved wrath. Look on all thy children, thou who knowest the condition of each and every one of them, and what they stand in need of also in this time and in this day. Lord, could it please thee to revive thy own work, and that thou may feed and nourish the little lambs and the sheep by our hand, that thou may instruct, that thou may rebuke, that thou may give correction, and that thou may draw unto thyself in mercy, and that thou may give us wisdom then in the leading of thy church, and that thou may bring many to a true repentance. Look thou upon the children, the youth of the congregation, in the days of their youth, when their heart is yet tender. Lord, that thou may keep them from all the allurements of the prince of darkness, that they may be savingly anointed with thy Holy Spirit, that their eyes may go open to see what is the value and the riches of thy holy word, and that they may indeed be given to search for that true wisdom as for hid treasures. O, give them thy spirit in the days when they are still young, before that the evil days draw nigh. Strengthen each and every one of the parents in our midst in bringing up and guiding the children and the youth of the congregation. O, give us wisdom from above, and keep us from following all the vanities and the carnalities of our heart and of this world. Look on all that are not married, all that go over this life alone as widows, widowers, and orphans. Also those that have become old and experience frailties of the body. Strengthen in thy mercy, and wilt thou give a place at thy footstool, even in our old age. Do look upon those that are in the hospital, and thou knowest her that has received surgery, and also her that was brought to the hospital. Lord, that thou may strengthen both of them in thy mercy, and give doctors all wisdom and strength, and all the caregivers to care for them appropriately, and that thou may bless and sanctify these ways, bring them safely home again to their loved ones in thy appointed time, and give that thy word also this day, when they may read it in the hospital, and may be sanctified and blessed, that it may be good to be afflicted, and that thou may teach thy statutes. Look upon us in thy house also. Lord, of ourselves we are so empty of all that is good and right, all that is spiritual, all desire that goes out after thee in the kingdom of heaven. Of ourselves we are so void of all good and all that is proper and clean before thee. Oh, then we stand in need of thee, Lord, for everything. Oh, that thou may fill us then, even thy servant, to bring thy word in this morning. Oh, that thou may show to us what is necessary to say. Give the words in our mouth and the matter to burn in our hearts, that the welfare of souls may be bound upon us, and that together, that our hearts may be instructed in thy truth. Wilt thou forgive and keep us from all iniquity? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 276, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou, O Lord, art God alone. Everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. The last collection is for the school. We announce a change in a correction in the bulletin. The wedding, the Lord willing, of Brendan Grisnick and Henrietta de Kock in Picture Butte this Friday is not at 10:30, but it is at 11 o'clock a.m. Psalter 276, stanzas 1 through 4. Why have ye done this? That is the question of the Lord. That is what we heard last week. Why have ye done this? Done what? Why have ye made a league? Why have ye made an agreement with the inhabitants of this land that ye have allowed them to remain? Actually, it is more than what you did. It is more what you did not do. Why have ye done this? Why have ye not done this? Why have ye not driven them out? Why have ye not thrown down their altars? Why have ye done this? Thus, congregation, we may ask also in this morning hour, how is it? We have had a week that we may meditate upon this word of the Lord, or is that not our practice? To meditate on the word of the Lord that may be brought upon the Sabbath day. Thus we have had a week to meditate upon this word of the Lord. Then we may ask, in what way has the word of the Lord affected our heart? In what way has that word of the Lord affected our life? And then we heard that the Lord has laid out His great goodness, His long-suffering, His kindness. Why? Because He will, as it were, break the hearts of His children. And what is the answer of our heart? Is there here one broken heart? Was there one single tear that may flow from us in the week that has gone by because the Lord says, why have ye done this? By nature, it is all hardness. Maybe you feel something of this. Maybe you feel something of the wretchedness and the unbreakableness of your heart. So that when the Lord comes with His long-suffering, and when the Lord shows to us His mercy, and when the Lord lays out to us all our sin, that you say, how is it now possible? How is it possible that this wretched and this hard heart of mine does not break itself into pieces? That you feel something of the deadness of your heart and the depth of the fall, and how that you are not able to affect yourself even with the great goodness of the Lord. Not only for the first time, but also by renewal. And that God's children are not able to bring themselves once again to a true mourning, so that it is experienced in their life how that the Lord, He is the Alpha, that the Lord is the first one, and that He must be the first one in my life. But congregation, the Lord is using means. Always means. Young people, consider it. The Lord can break the heart of a man without means. But the Lord uses means. What does He use? He uses the preaching of His word. Thus He uses words. And that He is coming unto His people to speak unto them, and those words, they will enter into their mind. And thus the Lord is using the means of bringing and exhibiting His goodness to break the heart. And when the heart still does not break, then the Lord is still going to work through in His church. But He will use another means. And now the Lord will resort to threatening. That the Lord says, if you absolutely refuse, then he says, I am going to tell you what your punishment is going to be. And this is now our consideration for this morning hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find in Judges 2. Judges 2, verses 3 through 5. Judges 2, verses 3 through 5. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it shall come to pass when the angel of, and it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, and that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So far, the words of our text. The angel of the Lord appears to Israel at Bochim. And last week we heard a loving admonition. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? This morning, our second and our third points, a serious warning. And third, a loud weeping. The angel of the Lord appears to Israel at Bochim, a loving admonition, a serious warning, a loud weeping. Thus, a serious warning. Wherefore, I also said. Thus, it is not a new warning, but the Lord says, I also said. I said this already. Then he is reminding the children of Israel of something that he has said before. Children, how many times does mother have to warn you? Does she have to say it more than once? That is a shame. And yet, parents, we are not so different from our children, because the warnings of the Lord, they are not taken up by us, but the Lord so often has to say it time and again. Wherefore I also said. Do you remember? I will not drive them out from before you, Israel. When they have come out of the land of Egypt, and we have read that from the book of Deuteronomy, they were given a command by the Lord. And when they were to come into that land of Canaan, the Lord said that they were to drive out all of the inhabitants of that land. That is a picture for us of sin. That is to be driven out in the life of that true church of God. When the Lord will bring them out of that service of sin, and then they are not to allow sin, any sin, to rest in their life. But they are commanded by the Lord to drive it out. So the children of Israel, and they were commanded to drive out the inhabitants of this land of Canaan. Could they do this in their own strength? They could not. That enemy that was much too strong for them, that enemy that was entrenched in their own land, that enemy that was in the comfort and the stronghold that they have been in for so very, very many years. No, then it was not in the strength of Israel, who were not a warrior people, to drive out the inhabitants of that land. What did the Lord say? The Lord says, when you will do it, when you will take this in hand, he said, then I will help you.
then I will drive them out from before you. But, he says, if you refuse to try to drive them out, that is, if you refuse to use the means to drive them out, then there is going to come a time that you are going to desire that those enemies would be rid in your land, and you will not be able anymore because I will not drive them out from before you anymore. Thus, the sin of sloth is going to be punished. The sin of sloth is going to be punished with weakness. The Lord is no longer going to give the necessary strength. The Lord is no longer going to go before His people to drive out that sin. Last week, we read together from chapter 1 and verse 34, and the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down into the valley. Thus we see something of the judgment of the Lord already. When they did not put to hand the labors that the Lord had placed upon them, that they felt the strength of that enemy. Now what do we read in this following chapter? We read now, these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, namely the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. Thus, when you go through the whole history of the children of Israel, then it becomes very evident that the children of Israel were no longer able to drive out the inhabitants of this land. Congregation, our inability, the inability of man to fulfill the command of the Lord is no excuse for our sloth, for our laziness, for not putting our hand to the work. The Lord is commanding despite the inability of man. You say, young people, perhaps, but the Lord has to do it. The Lord has to convert me. I cannot convert myself. Oh, yes, you are so very, very right. And we hope you remember that to the last day of your life. We hope you will never let go of that truth, and that strength of the Lord that is so necessary to drive out that strong man arm that is in our heart by nature. And yet the Lord gives to us a command. And it is in the obedience to a command that we are not able to fulfill that the Lord is blessing, that the Lord is sanctifying this labor, that the Lord is going before to drive out Satan and to drive out all of his cohorts. No, the inability of man is no excuse for his sloth, because the Lord is coming. When man is walking in the way of obedience, then the Lord is coming and with His own power and exerting His own power. And in that striving, when you will feel something of your weakness, when you will feel something of your inability, oh, then what will your heart do? Then your heart that will cry out to God, oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, save me. Lord, drive out that mighty enemy. He is much too mighty for me. There the Lord has the opportunity for honor. There the Lord has the opportunity to receive the glory. When you will feel your weakness, and when you will acknowledge one day His great strength. But that sin of slothfulness, that is an abomination unto the Lord, and it will be visited by the Lord, not only in the reprobate, and especially in us who hear the command of the Lord day after day, but it will also be visited in His people. And it will be visited with what? It will be visited with a deaf ear. It will be visited with the withholding of His power, that He will not grant that power anymore. So we read it of Achan, when the children of Israel, they had sin in their midst, and that sin that was not cast out of their midst. And then they could not have the victory over the weakest of their enemies. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side. Oh, children, what is a thorn? Did you ever have a splinter in your finger? Then you know that that is something very painful. And that is not, that is every time that you are moving your hand, your finger, and that you feel that that splinter is there, that it is giving you pain, and that you cannot do anything without a full realization of the fact that there is something in your flesh. You can imagine a thorn that is in your side. A thorn in your side. That is something that if you will stand, you will feel it. And if you will sit, you will feel it. And if you lay down, you will feel it. A thorn in your side. And you try to remove a thorn. You try to remove a splinter. That is sometimes so very, very difficult. That is also a very painful thing. And sometimes that is so difficult that you are not able to remove it. And you must simply wait until that it is coming out of itself. And now the Lord will not destroy His people. No, the Lord has made with His people a covenant. And that covenant is so very, very sure that that people can never be destroyed. And yet, the Lord is threatening them. The Lord is threatening to leave cherished sin as a thorn in their sight. That He will no longer give the strength to overcome it. He is going to make that sin to be painful to them, so that they are ever going to be reminded of their iniquity. And He is going to suffer that sin not to give them any rest. And then especially because it is their own fault, because they would not listen. David cherished adulterous thoughts. They became adulterous deeds. And they became a thorn in his side. He did it in secret. He made a league with sin. The Lord did it openly. Then David had to look at it and watch it in his children from generation to generation. Then it was for him a thorn in his side. He cherished murderous thoughts. And they became murderous deeds. And they became a thorn in his side. When that sword did not depart from his house.
congregation, when we will continue. When we will continue to make a league with the inhabitants of this land. We should not expect that it is going to be any different with us. But that our sin is going to find us out. Do you know what we read in the Word of God? We read about the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast that is in the forehead and in the hand. Thus, when we will think along with the beast of this world, and when we will do along with the beast of this world, then we are also going to be destroyed along with the beast of this world. But they shall be as thorns in your sides. And not only so, but their gods shall be a snare unto you. A snare. What is a snare? A snare that is a trap. That is, children, just like some kind of a trap that we use to trap an animal. Let's say a bird, a net, and we spread that net. And then there are several things that are included in a snare, a trap. What is that? Well, in the first place, then there is an allurement. You want to catch a bird, then you place a little bread within that snare, within that trap. And that bird, he is going to be coming because he wants to eat that bread. You draw him, you lure him. It is bait. Then you know his nature. Not placing a stone there. Say, no, he will not come after a stone. You place something there that he likes, that he may fall into your trap. And what else is connected with such a snare? That is, in that net you are going to let down very, very suddenly. When he is not expecting it. So that he has no time to escape out of that snare. And that is now the third thing. That out of that snare there is no escape. Thus an allurement. And a suddenness. And no ability to escape. That is now what the Lord says. Their gods shall be a snare unto you. Samson, to play with fire. He associated himself with wicked women. And he was taken in a snare. It was an allurement for him. Sensuality. Is that an allurement for you also, young people? Oh, how quickly that we can be taken in this snare. When he was there, then it was so suddenly that trap was upon him. And then what did he find? That he was not able to deliver himself anymore out of this snare. Who are your friends, young people? With whom do you associate in this world? Is it all of the friends of this world? Oh, how easy we learn their ways. How easy that we follow in their paths. When there is no respect for God, no respect for His Word, no respect for His day. And when there is a filthy communication out of their mouth and filthy pictures and filthy talk and filthy deeds. And we are so easily taken in this snare if it does not even go further unto the snare of drinking and drugs and so on. And their gods, that is the God of this world, their gods shall be a snare unto you. Why? Because
our heart that goes out after these things also, these are an allurement unto our nature. That is not only for our children, parents, that is also for us. With whom are our associations? And that is not only when we speak about those of this world, but there are many denominations also. Even of those that call themselves Reformed and Calvinists. Oh, do we know the subtleties of the differences and the errors that are in the doctrine? And what is going to take place with us? Will we be influenced also by such a doctrine? And our children, what does the Lord say? Their God shall be a snare unto you. There is a great drawing of the human heart to a religion that in all of its practice denies the deep fall of man. Because man has become proud in his fall. And he will not confess that he has fallen so deeply as to be so completely dead in trespasses and in sins. And so this God of worshiping even the strength, which is nothing but weakness of that fallen man that is so akin to our hearts. Solomon married with the daughters of this world, and eventually he came to bow down before their gods. And now if it happened to Solomon, if it happened to such a man as he, oh, who are we to think that we can uphold ourselves? Their gods shall be a snare unto you, what a thorn. What a thorn that will be in our side when because of our own practices, when because of our own associations in this world, we see our children, we see our grandchildren departing from the truth. Then every day we will live with our own foolishness. And most of the time there is no coming back. Boston says, if an angel came from heaven, he cannot make them to doubt. And it came to pass when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Tribute. What is that? They became tributaries. That means they put them to service. They made servants of them. They made slaves of them. What do you think, young people? Our hearts, they are quite inclined to say, well, that's an idea. Why should we destroy them? Why do we not use them? Instead of getting rid of them, let them become our servants. We can use them even in the service of the Lord. What did Israel do? They made themselves wiser than God. What God had said they ought not to do, they thought was a better idea. And there is such a movement also in general in the Christianity of our day. What is that movement? What is that idea? That idea is to sanctify the world for a Christian service. Yes, the sports of our day, that is
That is, the idolatry of man, professional sports. But let us sanctify it. Let us cleanse it. What shall we do? Let us become involved, but we will pray before the game. We will do it in a right way. Rock and roll? Well, we put the name Christian on it. Then we have a Christian rock and roll. There is a great movement today, also in Hollywood. Movies? Well, we will cleanse them. We will Christianize them. Thus, the idea. Sanctify the world for Christian service. Take the worldly customs and use them in the service of God. Give to them a Christian name. Make good use of them. We don't need to get rid of them altogether. But what did the Lord say? The Lord did not say to make tributaries of the heathen. The Lord did not say to his people, make slaves of them that they can help you in the service of the Lord. No, he said, you shall drive them out from before you. You must get rid of them altogether. Why? He said, lest they be a snare unto you, lest they be a temptation to you, lest they be bait for you. Man is not wiser than God. No, Paul says, the foolishness of God, if there were such a thing, foolishness of God is wiser than men. What does man not believe? What does man not accept? Does not accept his fall. Not in the practice. Man refuses to believe how evil his own heart is. Man refuses to believe how corrupt his heart is, how vulnerable that he is to sin. He refuses to believe how weak that his heart is. He says, I am strong. I can handle temptation. I won't sin with it. I will stand. I will uphold myself. No, the Lord says, you must cast it out. Not only must you not serve their gods, but you must throw down their altars. Why? Because their gods, they shall be a snare unto you. No, you will not be able to resist it. No, they shall be too strong for your weakness. And how shall you pray to me for help against all these idols? And the service of these idols when the altar to that idol is still standing in your life. No, therefore, he says you must hate the garment that is spotted by the flesh. And if you refuse to cast out the heathen, if you refuse to fight this warfare, I will not drive them out from before you. And indeed, their gods, they shall be a snare unto you. The temptations, they will plague you. Those temptations will plague your children. They will allure you. They will be bait for you. And you shall be caught in that snare. And you shall fall. And you shall bow down to those gods. And then I will come against you with my punishment. He serious warning. And what is the fruit of it? Let us sing. Psalter 291, 3, 4, 6, and 7. They sacrificed to heathen gods, and God their sin repaid. Then holy wrath avenged the wrong, and so the plague was stayed. 3, 4, 6, and 7 of 291. Congregation, what is the possible fruit upon the rebuke of the Lord? It is possible that we take no heed. It is possible that we go away and we never think about it again. It is possible that we never make an application to ourselves, to our own life. That the serious warnings of the Lord, that they are plucked away by the birds of the air, as seed is plucked away that is fallen by the wayside. That is possible. Is that now the way that the rebuke of the Lord is going to receive a fruit in our own life, then it is also possible that we mock, that we poke fun. Then it is also possible that we become angry. Now there is also another possibility. It is a possibility not from our side. It is a possibility from the side of the Lord. We read that in our third thought, a loud weeping in verses 4 and 5. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Bochim, that means weeping. It is a blessed thing if we may come to the confession of our guilt. And yet, even confession is not enough. Judas also made a confession that he had betrayed innocent blood. Then he went lost. But what do we read here? We read of a weeping. Thus, it is something more than confession. It is sorrow, or what we call compunction, sorrow. Compunction that is essential, that is necessary. Not necessarily an outward sorrow and an outward weeping, but a weeping of the heart. Confession without sorrow is nothing. It is nothing but hypocrisy. But upon what is compunction, what is sorrow based? Sorrow is based upon love. Without love, there is no sorrow. Thus, love to God is what sorrow is founded upon. That is why the Lord is setting forth His goodness, His kindness, His mercies, His blessings over against all their ingratitude. That is over against all of these that God's children learn to weep, that they have not thrown down the altars to the gods of sin in their own life. Blessed weeping. An evidence of repentance, a broken heart because of sin. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. Bochim, weeping. The world is full of weeping. Full of weeping over the consequences of sin, misery, pain, suffering, disappointment in this world. The world is full of weeping. But congregation, did the pointing out of sin ever become a cause for your weeping? Did the pointing out of sin ever bring guilt home unto your soul so that you could not uphold yourself anymore? Did you ever have to fall under the accusations of the Lord that you became the guilty one, guilty before God, guilty before men? that you have to say with David, I have sinned against the Lord. Did you ever shed one tear because you had sinned against a good-doing God? Was there ever sorrow? Was there ever grief in your soul? Because the goodness of God is so great, and your sin against Him so loathsome. Upright sorrow that is caused by love. Not by the speaking of the conscience. That is common to all men in this world. But upright sorrow caused by love. If we know not the love of God, we know not the sorrow because of sin. But weeping, that is still not sufficient to reconcile a soul with God. Surely weeping cannot be missed. But weeping also is not able to reconcile man with God. Did you ever experience it to be so? Esau sought a place of repentance with tears. What does that mean? He did not seek his own repentance with tears. No, he sought the repentance of his father with tears. He sought the changing of the mind of his father with tears. But he could not change the mind of his father with his tears. Neither can our tears change the mind of God. Why not? Because tears are not able to satisfy justice. An eternity of weeping and gnashing of teeth is not able to satisfy the justice of God. That is why there will be no coming out of such a condemnation. Also true tears, upright tears of the true church of God. Is no ground for the redemption of his church. It is not tears. It is not because that tears flow, but it is because that blood flows. The flowing of blood is necessary for the satisfying of the justice of God. What does Paul say? Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And therefore, we read here, not only that they wept, but we read, and they sacrificed unto the Lord. What a wonder for this people. Do you ever think about that, young people? Think about the heathen that have never heard of the name of the true God. Think about the heathen who have never heard of that way of salvation. And when they come to feel what every man in this world will feel, the tears of misery, of sorrow, of repentance, are not able to bring them out of their misery. There is for them nothing but despair. What do we read here now of the blessed children of Israel, to whom the revelation of God has been made known? We read, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Here is their ground.
Here is their hope of expectation. The hope and the ground for a people who deserve to be cut off by the Lord. And not only their hope and their ground, but it is also now that we read the accusations of the Lord no more. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And now, congregation, the Lord is quiet. And the accusations of the Lord cease. They are finished. And there is no more wrath. Oh, does that mean the chastisements of the Lord are taken away? No. Those chastisements of the Lord, they will remain among His people. Even though it is a people that are forgiven by that stream of blood. And why do they remain? We read it. To prove Israel by them. To know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which He commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Those continual chastisements, they will be a means of what? Of self-knowledge. They will come to know more and more continually what they are and what they remain. They will be a means of reminding that people of their own sin, of their own sloth, of the consequences of their sin. That they may take heed to their ways. That they may teach them warfare. Their hands to war and their fingers to fight. As long as they are in the church militant here below. And they will serve as means. Oh, to make necessary and to make precious that blessed sacrifice. That they may see. All their hope and all their expectation in that Son of God. Oh, to teach them to cry for strength, for help in the battle, and for the forgiveness of all their sin. That enemy, they shall be given room in the church to prove them. They will be alluring bait. For sin. And yet that enemy. That will never overcome them. Though they fall. And though they are ensnared in that trap. Of those sins that they have never put away from among them. Yet the salvation of the church of God. Is not grounded. Upon a creature obedience. Otherwise congregation it were eternally lost. But that salvation of the people that is grounded and that is founded in an active, in a passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ as a substitute for His church. And that is going to be to the eternal glorification of a triune God by a people who are not ignorant of their own iniquity. And it is going to be to the magnification of the wonder of free and sovereign grace unto the chiefest of sinners. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us out of Thy word. O convert us unto Thee, turn our hearts, and cause us to flee from the ways of sin. They are so dear to our natural hearts. O that Thou may look on us and give us strength and give us diligence. But wilt Thou drive them out from before us? And that we might learn to love and to serve Thee in truth. But wilt Thou also forgive us? And wilt Thou wash and cleanse us in the precious blood of Thy dear Son?
Dismiss us with thy blessing and bring us safely to our homes and bring us to thy house again in this afternoon hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 141, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. And thy salvation's joy impart. Steadfast make my willing heart. 1, 2, and 4 of 141.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.